This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and I'm really glad that you've decided to join us. The impeachments and multiple investigations into former President Donald Trump's conduct while in office has drawn a lot of attention onto government oversight. How do we, as a society, make sure that those we entrust with control of our government actually serve the people and do it ethically? This past week, the Levin Center at Wayne State University launched the first and only national institution dedicated to promoting effective bipartisan fact-finding and oversight by state legislatures. It is called the State Oversight Academy, and it will focus on improving the practice of oversight by state legislatures all across the country. To help us understand more about the program, including why it was started and what the Levin Center hopes to accomplish, I'm joined now by Jim Townsend. He is the director of the Levin Center at Wayne Law and a former member of our own legislature in Lansing. Jim, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Oh, Stephen, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So let's talk about this academy, what it is, and why start it now.
Well, as you said, this is a new initiative of the Levin Center that is focused on creating a national community of lawmakers, scholars, journalists, and just the general public that is interested in the quality of oversight, the quality of fact-finding that's done all over our country and state legislatures. And, you know, the way to understand oversight is really to think about what the job of a lawmaker is. You know, most of us focus on, well, you know, they make the laws, they write the laws, and that's true. But really, if you think about it, they're supposed to be our eyes and voice. In fact, that's what the Supreme Court said about 70 years ago in a case. They quoted Woodrow Wilson in an article he wrote many, many years ago, saying that when lawmakers are doing oversight, they become the eyes and voice of their constituents. And that's really what the State Oversight Academy is designed to do, is to get people to focus on that responsibility, to help lawmakers do a better job of reaching across the aisle and finding facts without putting their party interests or their personal interests first. You can't be the eyes and voice of your constituents if you're filtering out half of the environment. You know, if half of the facts are ones that you don't want to mention or pursue because they don't support your politics, that's not doing the right job. That's not doing a good job of being the eyes and voice of the people. So we want to elevate that by training lawmakers, by working with scholars to better understand how oversight works, and also by working with journalists and just the public to shine a light on how well the job of oversight and fact-finding is being done.
Yeah. So I think this is an interesting question to raise today, given the story that I was just talking about before in ProPublica today about Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and his affiliation with this very powerful conservative donor. There's a lot in that story that reminds me of the ways in which we have not had proper oversight of some government officials, right? The third branch at the federal level is less overseen than the other branches. But even given that fact, this is astonishing information about the ways in which people who are supposed to be representing the people interact with people who have, you know, special interests in mind. And your point about bipartisan sort of analysis of these things is really important here, right? There are going to be all kinds of conservatives who are angry about this report because it's Clarence Thomas. They're not going to take it seriously that these things are happening and worthy of investigation. I imagine that this is the kind of thing that you guys have in mind at the Academy.
It's exactly what we have in mind. I mean, you can't do your job as a lawmaker charged with being the eyes and voice of the people, of your constituents, if you're not willing to approach these facts in good faith. So the facts here, as best we understand them, is that Justice Thomas was not reporting some very unusual gifts he was receiving from a certain person, from a very wealthy individual. That should raise concerns regardless of your political affiliation. But if you're approaching facts from a a partisan perspective and you're filtering out facts that don't support your agenda, then you're not going to do your job as a lawmaker ultimately. Mm-hmm. And so the State Oversight Academy is designed to reach out to lawmakers across the country. Now, we do work in Congress as well, but what we and we're going to continue to do that work. But what we found is that, you know, it's very important to get to people earlier in their careers. Half of the Congress is made up of people who came out of state legislatures. We need to be talking with them while they're building their political careers to let them know and to help them see, one, they have a responsibility to pursue the facts wherever they lead, and two, that they can be enormously impactful and powerful if they reach across the aisle and work with people they disagree with to pursue those facts and bring them to light. Because if you have those facts together and you have somebody standing next to you who's on the other side of the aisle, people will listen. People in your business, Stephen, will listen, right? When you see a Democrat and a Republican coming forth with a report on some issue, you're inclined to take that seriously.
Yeah. It also reminds me, this issue also reminds me of the trouble that we have had here in the state of Michigan with oversight and how that relates to transparency. This is one of the least transparent state governments in the nation. Every report about transparency kind of reaches that same conclusion. The relationship between transparency and oversight, I think, is really important. You cannot have proper oversight if government is doing what it's doing almost entirely behind closed doors.
That's absolutely true, and I think the facts bear this out in Michigan. In our study, we've studied every state in the country and how well it's equipped to do oversight and how well it actually uses that authority and that capacity. Michigan has a lot of tools. It has one of the strongest set of tools in the country. It has a full-time legislature, a legislature that is actually fairly well-staffed. It has a very professional legislative counsel's office. It has an auditor general that is one of the most highly rated auditor generals in the country. It has a lot of assets, and yet it's not using those assets. And part of the reason is that the legislature is pretty opaque. It's very hard to see into the legislature and understand if you're a member of the media or if you're just the public to see how they're making their decisions, because they don't have to, they're not subject to the Freedom of Information Act, for example.
Yeah. I'm talking with Jim Townsend. He is director of the Levin Center at Wayne State University Law School. He is running this new institution called the State Oversight Academy. We're talking about the idea of government oversight, how important it is to democracy, and how little of it we have in some cases. Jim, I want to talk about Congress just a little bit here, a little more, and in the context of former President Donald Trump. Congress conducted several hearings into Trump's actions as president as part of the January 6th hearings. This seems to be maybe a good example of oversight working. They're not done yet. We haven't seen what the consequences of this investigation should be. But even though it hasn't been terribly bipartisan and there's been some partisan strain, it seems like a pretty good example of how this can work.
Well, I think we did a convening actually back in January in Washington, and we gathered some oversight experts, including an individual who had worked on that investigation, to try to learn more about how they had sort of broken the mold and done things differently from traditional congressional investigations. One of the things they did really effectively, and this is true whether regardless of what side of the political aisle you're on, is that they understood that the job of a hearing, when you're doing a hearing, you actually should be you should be done with most of your investigation. People think that hearings are designed to reveal new facts. Well, that's true from the public's perspective, but the people doing the hearings should have already done their investigation, and the purpose of the hearing is actually to put those facts on the record. And the January 6th committee did a very good job of spending, more than a year gathering facts and then being very focused in putting on hearings that told a very compelling story. And, we see examples where Congress gets that exactly wrong. The other day there was a hearing involving the CEO of TikTok. And they bring him in, and then they just yell at him for 4 hours. And they obviously, it was clear that the members and the staff had not done their homework and didn't know a lot of the details and specifics, because you could tell because of the questions they were asked. They asked the CEO, were very light on facts. They didn't actually address the specifics of the allegations that are being made against TikTok. And so we didn't advance the conversation very far. Had they instead taken more time, investigated further, and then brought the CEO along with a lot of other people in, mm-hmm. they could have put some very good information on the record and actually moved us forward toward reform. And it's those kinds of practices that we're trying to advance at the Levin Center, both in Congress and around the country in state legislatures.
Jim, we have just about a minute left. I really want to have you talk about how average citizens, just people who are concerned about government transparency and oversight, can engage with this Oversight Academy.
Well, one of the things that we're really trying to do is educate the public about the job of a lawmaker, and it's being so important that a lawmaker approach facts in an open and bipartisan way. And so one of the ways that the public can get engaged is to demand that the legislature operate differently. For one, you know, term limits are a huge problem for oversight, because when lawmakers are only serving a very short period of time, they don't tend to focus on the long-term effects of their actions. They don't tend to take the time to learn and dig into issues and do good oversight. So as much as possible, oppose term limits, try to get rid of them. We've made some progress here in Michigan, but not nearly enough. The term limit reform we passed was progress, some progress, but not nearly enough.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I mean, everyone is applauding what we did at the ballot box last year, and it is progress. But boy, it still limits the ability for people to become experts in government service and to really understand their jobs. It is something we should be coming back to at the ballot box or otherwise in the future.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, it's also really important that we, in our own conversations, and I think, you know, Stephen, you were trying to do this on the show with one of the callers, where you leave your echo chamber behind. You know, you step out of that comfort zone in terms of facts and perspectives, and reach out to people who disagree with you on philosophy. Yeah. We've got to insist that people do that who represent us in our capital.
Yeah. Okay, Jim Townsend, director of the Levin Center at Wayne State Law School and new head of the State Oversight Academy. Always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much for coming in today on Detroit Today.
Thanks, Stephen. It's great to see you.
It's going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when we look at the growing universe of non-traditional treatments with the author of a new book, If It Sounds Like a Quack, A Journey to the Fringes of American Medicine. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.